I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018. I'm Jessica Rosenthal. President Trump's hoping to get Congress to give him some big legislative wins this year, but can he pull it off, especially with midterm elections on the horizon?
We're going to have a rough January. It's going to be Congress and the president staking out their positions.
And I'm Trish Regan. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
It's 2018, and we're coming up on a full year of a Trump presidency. Some say he got a lot done. Others say he didn't. And often one's opinion on that depends on whether they support the president at all. Either way, he's heading into 2018 after getting tax reform passed and looking ahead to do more. But this time he's sounding maybe even more ambitious. Not necessarily because of the topic, but because he says he wants bipartisan support.
Infrastructure is by far the easiest. People want it. Republicans and Democrats. We're going to have tremendous Democrat support on infrastructure, as you know.
How he'll get bipartisan support remains to be seen. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was one of the Democrats who held back support from a short-term government funding fix over concerns about their legislative priorities, including a fix for DACA, the program President Trump ended that gives some legal status to people who were brought here illegally as children.
At least allow a vote on Dreamers, which we think we would win, but hopefully we've made some progress and in their thinking that as to the urgency of it.
As for infrastructure, Democrats may try to roll out their own plan and refuse to work with the president and Republicans ahead of 2018 midterms.
Where's that famous infrastructure bill that was going to be the first thing out of the gate? Not a single bill to create jobs and raise wages for hardworking Americans. Nothing that puts the middle class first.
This weekend, President Trump heads to Camp David to talk about the legislative priorities for the year ahead with House Speaker Paul Ryan and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Well, I think we've established a really good working relationship. You could sense this tax exercise kind of brought everybody together because We knew we were not going to have any support on the other side. We worked together seamlessly. And I think we go into the new year with a high level of confidence in our ability to work together with the administration and to have similar priorities.
Before the Christmas break, McConnell added that at least in the Senate, they will always try to look for opportunities for bipartisanship. So, what exactly is next for 2018?
January is going to be very busy.
That's Fox News contributor Tammy Bruce.
Because the Democrats expect, and they might cooperate on certain things like infrastructure, but don't be surprised when they want to put that front and center, which is effectively, many would consider it amnesty for about 800,000 people. And the president's going to want to see what kind of bill comes out of Congress. But of course, attached to that, and this is for the president, I think an urgent issue because it was, of course, a main campaign promise, which is the building of the wall. We've got these prototypes now down at the southern border. And the people that voted for him, we got, of course, a midterm in 2018, are going to want to see that manifest. So of all the things the president promised, many of which he's already delivered on, because with the economy, of course, and the tax cuts, we're going to have a rough January. It's going to be Congress and the president staking out their positions on issues that need to be addressed. And we'll see if the president wins, his base will be happy. I don't see the Democrats necessarily winning on any of these issues unless they want to be seen as obstructionists.
Looking ahead at 2018, I mean, we've heard from the president, like you mentioned, on infrastructure. He sees that happening. What else is on the table?
The biggest issue, I think, for the Democrats right now, they feel for their base. They talk about having some blue wave in the midterms, but they realize that the so-called Dreamers Act, now that the president has put it into their lap, is something they have to deliver on. It was a very interesting move of the president, reversing, of course, Barack Obama's executive order on the issue and saying this belongs in Congress. And he's absolutely right. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Democrats are going to be able to get any of this done with Republicans, who we also know have wanted amnesty for a number of years and have been working on it and haven't been able to do it. And yet that hasn't been helpful for them. I mean, obviously, look at who the president is. So in January, look at that as being a place where the Democrats plant their flag. And that's going to be a big argument, as well as the border wall for the president. That's going to be a big argument as well, probably weaved into that additional amnesty immigration bill argument.
The president has said he sees the possibility for bipartisanship here, especially on infrastructure. Is that really possible, or will Democrats hold back, as you just said, as the midterms approach?
I think some will cooperate. I think they will. It won't be like with the tax bill, which was kind of like a last hurrah, if you will, at the end of this first year. If they were ever going to get the president to quit or resign or to give up, it would have been this year. Clearly, he's not going to. So now you've got individuals who really, for their home states, it depends on President Trump and his team knowing how to target the states of Democrats who might be vulnerable to get them to participate so that they can go home and say, look what I got for us. That's the dream of everyone who's facing re-election. So there will be resistance, but I think there'll be less. And even somebody like Doug Jones, interestingly now, who will be, of course, the senator from Alabama, he's in a unique position where Alabamans will likely, of course, we expect in 2020, put a Republican back into that seat. But he's already made some noise that he's kind of willing to even work with the president. So a Doug Jones could be maybe even a more reliable vote on something like infrastructure than someone like Susan Collins or Jeff Flake.
Jessica Levinson is a Loyola Law and Political Science professor in Los Angeles.
The real question for the beginning and middle of 2018 is, will there be any other specific accomplishments? And, you know, when we're talking about the 2018 midterms and we're talking about what will be the issues that play into the votes, I think we also have to talk about the fact that, on the one hand, there's a political and legislative track that we're looking at. But on the other hand, there's a legal track, and there's the Robert Mueller investigation. And so I think that we also have to be cognizant of the fact that there could be the biggest win ever with respect to infrastructure. But if there are, you know, continuing damaging indictments coming out of the Robert Mueller investigation, that will also weigh heavily on the midterms.
We have heard President Trump mention that infrastructure will be a big focus, and he does believe he has some bipartisan support there. What are some of the other things, I don't know, that the president is going to want to focus in on this year?
Well, as you said, I think infrastructure is the biggest thing. But I also think he's going to be looking at something else he talked about, welfare reform. I think he's going to be looking again at health care. In the tax bill, Republicans did repeal a large part of so-called Obamacare. They did repeal the individual mandate. But I think that they will be looking to pull back even further on the health care bill. And I think that there will be new proposals for immigration reform. So I think that basically everything is still on the table. And one of the things that President Trump has done and will continue to do is he has peeled back on regulations. So regulations, for instance, in the area of environmental law, regulations in the area even of trying to make it easier for infrastructure projects to go through. So I think we'll see more of that as well.
When we hear the president talk about bipartisanship and saying, of course, Democrats want to do infrastructure, and that should be an easy thing to have bipartisan support on, does that mean realistically that we might see some bipartisanship this year, or ahead of 2018 midterms, is it possible the Democrats will say, look, yeah, of course we want infrastructure, but not this way, and resist any sort of bipartisan efforts?
Well, I think the last part of your question is right. So everybody wants a better America. Everybody wants great education. Everybody wants rainbows, and everybody wants sunshine. And everybody wants great infrastructure. And the question is, how do we accomplish that? So I think that broadly speaking, yes, infrastructure is very popular among both Republicans and Democrats. And I hate to overuse this phrase, but in large part, the devil is in the details. And so, you know, we care about making sure that we don't have crumbling roads and crumbling airports and crumbling bridges, and that we do allow people to build and function and travel in American society. But the question is how we accomplish that. And we've already seen that President Trump has changed what he said as candidate Trump. So candidate Trump wanted a $1 trillion infrastructure package. And that, I think, has been pulled back to about $200 billion. And when it comes to infrastructure, it is more popular on both sides than, let's say, tax cuts, which we saw was really accomplished by a party line vote. But the question is, when the president unveils his plan, which we understand will not actually be a piece of legislation, but will just be guiding principles, will it be broad enough to allow for support on both sides of the aisle? Because the administration will need 60 votes, which means you will need to pick up Democrats in order to get anything accomplished in infrastructure.
And at the same time, could we see Democrats say, look, we just don't want to work with you. It looks bad for us to appear to be working for with you, especially if we're trying to pick up seats in 2018.
Yes, it will shock everybody to know that appearances really matter in politics, and it will completely surprise everyone that elected politicians really care about whether or not they can keep their jobs. And that's not to say that there's anything problematic or pejorative about that. They like what they do, and they want to be voted in office again. And so I think that on both sides of the aisle, there will be a calculus as to whether or not the infrastructure plan will be more popular than coming out against the infrastructure plan. And so I think what we'll see is some sweeteners, particularly for Republicans who are question marks and Democrats who Republicans think are maybe gettable.
Let's talk about what else might be on the agenda that we're all not paying attention to.
Well, I think that the real victory of President Trump's administration thus far actually isn't the tax bill. I think it's his reshaping of the judiciary. So we tend to talk a lot about two branches of the government. We tend to talk a lot about the executive and a lot about the legislative branch and not that much about the judicial branch. But we really do have a system of three co-equal branches. And if you think about anything that most people care about in politics today, whether it be climate change, whether it be criminal justice, whether it be pro-choice or pro-life, whether they are in favor of increased privacy rights, more voting rights, First Amendment protections, religious freedom, freedom from discrimination, all of these issues are decided in federal courts by federal judges. And one of the things that the Trump administration has been terrifically successful about is nominating people to fill a record number of vacancies. So when President Obama was president, his nominations really slowed to a halt, in large part as a result of Senator Mitch McConnell's unwillingness to give hearings to and confirm President Obama's nominees. As a result, about, I think, 15% of the judicial branch was vacant when President Trump took office. And he has been extremely effective at nominating a number of people who will, you know, when and if confirmed, they'll be on the bench for the rest of their lives. And so even if President Trump resigned tomorrow, he will have already made his mark on our country, and he will already have done something that will have an effect on everybody who's listening for the rest of their lives. And so I think that we're kind of missing the fact that a third of our government is really being reshaped right now.
So, Tammy Bruce, your thoughts on the record number of judicial vacancies President Trump has to fill. How key is that to his priority list this coming year, even if it's not often a story that gets a lot of attention?
Yes. I mean, this is one of those quiet, monumental changes that the president has already been implementing. We saw it as being clearly a priority, so record numbers of judges that are could be appointed and have been appointed, and of course the Senate not necessarily approving them as rapidly as they could. But this is a signature of the president. The timing is perfect. This is where you change the face of the nation in so many different ways, and it is in a lot of ways under the radar. But his base knows that it's happening. It's not just Neil Gorsuch, of course, with the Supreme Court, but at so many other levels where you're not only staffing up the bench, you know, at a district level and at an appeals court level, et cetera, but you're also building up the talent pool. You're putting individuals in place for years to come who will continue to make those changes, continue to be able to be promoted, and perhaps even, of course, be talent when it comes to either political talent or, of course, talent for the Supreme Court. So it's very important. He was aggressive with it in 2017. And in the event that, of course, people will talk about the GOP losing the Senate, if they're and they're wise to be aggressive on it anyway, but the president should be even more aggressive with these appointments, and the Senate should be pushed to be more aggressive in their confirmations of them in the unlikely event, and I don't expect it to happen, but in the unlikely event that they lose the Senate in the 2018 midterms.
Well, Tammy Bruce, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is Trish Regan with your Fox News commentary coming up.
Download and make it Hammer Time with Bill Hemmer.
Welcome, Kellyanne Conway.
Carl Rove, welcome.
Ainsley Earhart.
Thank you, Bill. I like the Hemmer Time.
Hemmer Time. Yes.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcast.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Trish Regan.
What's on your mind?
As the conflict with North Korea heats up, one thing that we need to keep in mind is what we can do via China. China may effectively hold the key to all of this. They have the intelligence on the ground. They have allowed Kim Jong-un to be in the position he is in. And we can affect China because we have economic avenues to do so. China needs us. China needs us for trade. China needs us more than we need them, certainly from an economic standpoint. And as a result of that, we can pressure China to make sure that they are doing what needs to be done to contain the Kim Jong-un regime. We've already sanctioned one Chinese bank. There's a whole host of others that we can certainly sanction. Any company that is doing any kind of business with North Korea should be and will be sanctioned. And therein lies our power. The Chinese have already violated a series of our agreements. They're stealing our technology. We have recourse for this. We should use this recourse. And we can work with the Chinese to contain the Kim Jong-un regime. I often say, I'd rather lose dollars than lives. And in this particular case, before we start escalating ourselves towards a World War III kind of scenario, let's remember we have a whole lot of economic power. Let's use it. I'm Trish Regan.
You have been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to Fox News Radio's hourly newscast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, visit foxnews.com.